No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Along with Dave Manouk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about the Winnipeg Jets finally getting off the schneid, a much needed victory for a team that had been struggling so badly as of recent times, and they get it tonight in regulation, 4-3 over the Los Angeles Kings. David, good to see you again. I saw you about 40 minutes ago as we were venturing our way home from the downtown arena. We left after the second period, which is what we do. We stay for the first 40 minutes and then we depart to get home for the post game show. And that second period, it was sort of, the Jets had played a decent hockey game up to that point in time, but hadn't really received the goaltending and hadn't necessarily received the, maybe had some inopportune breakdowns from in areas of the ice. And so it was an important third period, as we talked about in the car. And the Winnipeg Jets, despite not necessarily playing their best period of the game, I would argue they played a better first 40 minutes than they did final 20 minutes. But nonetheless, they get the opportunistic goal. Cole Perfetti showing up tonight and having a tremendous game for the Winnipeg Jets. And as a result, the team comes home with a very important 4-3 victory.
For sure. And let's start the show by giving a shout out to Winnipeg's own Ryan Galloway, who 22 years of officiating in the IHL, AHL, and NHL. We, of course, are a Manitoba-based show, so we celebrate Manitobans whenever we get an opportunity. So we're going to give a special shout out. It's the first time that I can recall. And he had, Drew, was it 400? Is that what Mike McIntyre, who wrote a story about Galloway, said that I think there are going to be over 500 people in the
400 people. 400. Apparently, the number of people or that, you know, friends and family that he had in attendance at tonight's game, and you could see them in the stands. A lot of them were dressed like officials. They were wearing their stripes.
Apparently, his mom had 200 linesmen or referee jerseys to give away to people there. So, pretty cool stuff. And so we'll start off the show by giving a congratulations on a great career to Ryan Galloway. And it's pretty awesome that he was able to end it in his hometown and, you know, in front of the really classy, both from the fans who gave him, like I said, I'd never heard when they're announcing the officials before the game cheering, but as Drew just said, that was from his fan club. And then they did a nice tribute in the third period, which of course we were back at our respective homes for. But the other thing I wanted to give make a note of, because I don't know if you saw it at the end of the broadcast, but the entire, both teams stayed on to shake hands, every single player. Andre Kopitar gave him a really, seemed like heartfelt, like I think it was like 30 seconds of like, conversation. And obviously you get to know these guys, right? I mean, anybody who's played hockey before, those, you know, you get to know refs and linesmen, that sort of thing. So it's not a shock, but I'm just saying it was a nice gesture from the Kings captain. And then similarly, all the Jets stayed out. They all shook his hands after the Kings. And then even Rick Bonus stayed out and probably delayed his media availability in the Matt Frost Media Center, but I don't think anybody's too worried about that. And so he stayed out and the team stayed out and Lowry gave him looked like a jersey and a stick, and just a nice gestures from both teams to celebrate a career of a Manitoban. So we celebrate him on this show, and the teams of course celebrated him on the ice.
Yeah, you know, and I like this sort of thing, because, you know, too often the games, you know, it used to be that you sort of knew who the refs were and you knew who the linesmen were. They had some personalities, and of course the NHL can't have any personalities, so they got rid of that a number of years ago. But, you know, you can see the mutual respect that the players who are on ice and you know, see what the officials go through. And so for an event like today, and you see it, you know, obviously, you know, for Ryan, it happened here in Winnipeg, and you see it all throughout the league. That, you know, when guys know that an official or a linesman is going to be doing their final game, they always sort of go out of their way and, you know, if they have a relationship, you know, new guys less so than veteran guys, but, you know, they've been up and down the roads together. They've traveled the long hockey journey together in different roles, but I do like when they can sort of come together for a moment of zen, if you want to channel a little bit of the Daily Show there. So I like that. You know, my cold, dead heart isn't as cold and dead as many people would have you believe. But, you know, in terms of the on ice performance tonight for the Winnipeg Jets, it was the proverbial must win. This was a game where you needed it. You can't drop another game on home ice and extend this losing streak even further. You're playing an LA team at the end of a road trip. This is their third game in four nights. You need to find a way to get this win. And so often as of late, the Jets have found ways to not get the wins, to give up that goal for Trevor Moore. Yeah, I made that mistake before. Trevor Moore scoring shorthanded instead of Perfetti scoring shorthanded, and we'll get, or just after the penalty expired, rather.
Yeah,
and we'll get into all that on the Betway game recap here. But, you know, the lot of this game, I thought, David, we commented on it. It wasn't a lot of flow to it early on. I thought a lot of. Both teams, not just the Jets, both teams were having trouble handling the puck. Both teams were sort of just batting the puck back and forth. There was a sequence, I think, early in the second period where it just seemed like it was a hot potato for both teams, and there was not a lot of crispness to the game. I thought it got better as it went along, but probably somewhat attributable to the weird start time, the 8 o'clock local time start time that tonight's game was. I think that impacted a lot of the flow of the game, at least in the first, let's say, 30 or so minutes of it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of putting it, Drew. There were definitely some moments where you're just like, what are both teams doing? They were handling the puck somewhat like a grenade almost. And, you know, I likened it almost that second period. It was almost like a bit of a boxing match. And it, in the end, it almost looked like it was going to be a boxing match because both teams had a little bit of a dust up towards the end of it. But it was more like punch, counter punch between the two teams. But it definitely, especially in the first 4 minutes of that second period, there was just a lot of sloppiness, a lot of just kind of poor passing. And you know what? It was, look, we knew today was going to be an interesting game for the Winnipeg Jets. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we were at morning skate today at Canada Life. It was a full one, with the exception, of course, of Tyler Toffoli.
Right.
We later learned from head coach Rick Bowness was dealing with being under the weather. So he was going to be a game time decision. So who do we see? Cole Perfetti. And what have we said? Cole Perfetti's not, we said it on the last Saturday show. We said Cole Perfetti's not a fourth line player. So if you're going to bring Cole Perfetti in, you're going to put him in a path for success, then you're going to put him on the second line. And this new look second line, we should mention, of course, because Rick Bowness talked about it, how he's going to make the changes. So we have Ehlers swapping with Connor. And so you've got Perfetti, Monahan, and Connor on the second line, although they had a lot of success. We might call them the first line, Drew. And of course, Ehlers, Scheifele, and Vilardi as your first line. So it was just going to be a curious sort of, you know, because it was ironic, of course, that we said last game was the first game that they had everybody back together. And the injuries to Vilardi and the injuries to Connor and the injuries to Scheifele. So you finally get the whole group plus the acquisitions back. And now, of course, Toffoli is out because he was dealing with being under the weather.
And then we should also mention, of course, Nino Niederreiter left the game in the third period. And we don't yet know about his status, but he left the game and you could see it on the broadcast. He goes down the tunnel and he looks to be in some pain. Looked like it was an ankle or a lower leg issue.
I think he's been cut.
So. You think it was a skate cut?
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm thinking.
If it's a skate cut, then that's, you know, to me, you look at that and you watch the video and it's on our Twitter feed. I think it's on your Twitter feed at IC Dave. For those who didn't see it, the sort of when the incident happened, you're worried about, is that a sprain or something along those lines? If it's a skate cut and it's not a serious skate cut, then you're probably dodging a bullet there.
I think they did, is what I'm thinking, and reliably informed. But I think that's where it's going. So we'll see about that. We'll find out more hopefully tomorrow if the Jets end up holding their practice. But I think that for sure. But that's obviously gameplay. This is prior to the game in trying to figure out what's going to happen. And then the other big storyline that we'll get into, of course, is the fact that they jumbled the D pairings. Mm-hmm. And Rick Bowness said, like, listen, we've lost six games. Like, we don't have the luxury of, you know, going into this kind of last final eight games. And forget about the standings, because Rick Bowness even said it himself. He said, we're basically in third. So when the head coach of the hockey team is telling you they're basically in third, they're in third place. That's where they're anticipating Dallas and Colorado, even though Colorado lost tonight. They're anticipating that those two teams have first and second locked up. He's like essentially saying, listen, you know, if you're reading between the lines, we're a prideful group. We're going to hold on to third. We're not going to let Nashville take it from us. So he changes the forward groupings, obviously the top six, not the bottom six. Yeah. And then he switches all the D pairs. So you've got Pionk with Morrissey. You've got DeMello with Sandberg. And you've got, what did I say something wrong?
No, no, I'm just shaking my head at some of the D pairings. Go on.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And then you've got, I'm like, I don't think I got that wrong. And then with Schmidt. But I'm just making sure, you know, like, it's just, like I said, it was, we were sitting there in morning skate and I'm like, whoa, that's like, everybody's just kind of questioning whether we're actually, what we're seeing is what we're seeing. Cause it's not like one swap, obviously one swap would impact two pairings, but they actually did the full change around. And then obviously got Dylan Sandberg back into the lineup. So, you know, Drew, the key for me was, win or lose, how are the Jets going to play this game? And honestly, the Jets probably played a really good game overall. I would say that shockingly, it was actually some struggles from their goaltending, something we haven't seen a lot of. Yeah. And Laurent Brossoit was a little shaky a little bit.
He was fighting the puck.
He was fighting the puck a bit. Yeah. You know, there were a couple of instances where he fell over and you're like, and he didn't appear to know where it was going. And so, but and obviously there were some breakdowns and those ended up in the back of their net. So, it wasn't a perfect game. I think as Kevin Sawyer said on the broadcast, but you like the way the Jets came out. You like the way they came out in the first period, the way they kind of continued in. Like, I didn't think either team was great to start the second.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, this was like, it was a good rebound game.
Yeah, overall, the Jets, I thought, were the better of the two teams. They, you know, if you had to pick one team that, you know, deserved the win, I thought the Jets deserved the win. And you know, for them, they needed to get the win. And they needed to get it by battling back. Think about it. So they're up 1-0 in the game. Then they're down 2-1. Then they're down 3-2. They battled back multiple times in the course of the game before they were able to win it late with the goal just after the penalty had expired. The only penalty, I might add, in tonight's game. You could see it. You know, the standard was pretty clear that
crazy
nothing's getting called, because there was a lot of calls that typically get made even before the third period. There were, you know, sticks in hands and things of that nature, and an interference penalty here or there that typically gets called that the refs just let go. But that was the standard, and it was a fair standard for both teams.
And they followed it, Drew.
Yeah.
Because how many times, you know, we're sitting there in the first two periods, and you'd be like, well, that would be a penalty. And I'm like, oh, that's a penalty. Like, there were a number of things that, generally speaking, you know, there was like the Cole Perfetti stick smash. I was actually surprised that didn't get called a penalty in the third period. Were a number, and it went both ways. There was an
interference penalty that the Jets should have been called for. That was uncalled. Yeah.
But I just remember, I think I tweeted in the second period, but I was just like, well, this is clearly the standard they've established for this hockey game, because it's not going to deviate, because good for them. I will say, like, I like when the refs establish that, and it's going to take something significant for them to pull out the whistle and that's fine. And so, as you said, you thought the teams were kind of taking advantage of that. And we thought maybe they were going to try and test it.
Yeah,
but in the end, only Victor Arvidsson gets the one penalty.
Yeah, that's right. As it happened, and a deserving call. I mean, it's not like that was a weaker call. You almost had to blatantly, you know, they couldn't, you know, if they didn't call that one, then it was going to be chainsaw hockey where you can just take off guys' heads left
pack
and right.
The bone. The bone.
There you go. About the D pairings. I understand why you make the switch to see, because like Rick Bowness said, you've lost six in a row.
Mm-hmm.
More Neil Pionk is not the answer. So I don't expect these D pairings to last. Morrissey and Pionk and DeMello they can be just left untouched. They're fine. They play better with each other than they do with almost anybody else. Mm-hmm. Again, I would like to see more Colin Miller. Dylan Sandberg, he's in the lineup. I mean, keep him there. He's a solid player. You don't need to reinvent that wheel. But Morrissey and Pionk, to me, didn't do anything for me that would make me want to see more. It's not like, you know, Morrissey elevated Pionk. In fact, I thought it was sort of the other way around, where Pionk maybe dragged down Morrissey a little bit more. Morrissey can be himself because he knows where DeMello's going to be, and he knows that DeMello's got his back and is sort of the ideal partner for him. I don't feel that he's necessarily got that same comfort level with Neil Pionk back there. So I wouldn't expect the D pairings to remain as it was tonight moving forward, or certainly not for that long on Thursday when they play the Flames.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they reconfigure things, Drew, and if they keep this sort of shuffle going. But yeah, I mean, I was definitely a little surprised, as were a lot of folks, when we tweeted out the D pairings this morning after morning or during morning of skate. I mean, I just thought maybe they were hoping that Morrissey could offset what Neil Pionk's chaos, I think. That was kind of the prevailing thought process. Rick Bowness didn't really expand on that. I mean, he was asked by Mike McIntyre about the pairing Josh Morrissey and Neil Pionk, and ultimately he didn't really focus on that pairing specifically. He just generally answered the question about the team needing to be better and that sort of thing. So he didn't bite, even though Mike tried to get him to. And yeah, I mean, again, like I said, there were definitely a couple of questionable plays by, you know, Pionk. But I mean, then again, he just seems to be focused on more. A lot of the guys sometimes, like I remember there's a play where Dylan DeMello just casually tossed the puck up the ice. And you're like, well, there was no pressure on him. And he just gives it away. So anyways, it's interesting. You need to see more from Pionk. And again, they're going to have to be better.
Yeah.
This is a, you know, this is an LA team that I mean, it's just interesting, right? Because they were. For a while, they were falling out of it. Then they kind of solidified their spot as the third seed in the Pacific. And now Vegas, because they're on a heater, has supplanted them. And now you've got Vegas as that third seed. And you've got, what's it called? And you've got LA now as the second wild card.
Yeah, so, and likely where they're probably going to finish, it would be my expectation, is that, I mean, and let's be honest, I mean, I don't think LA is that great of a hockey team. I mean, I didn't see a lot. They get three goals tonight, but I wasn't overwhelmingly impressed with them in terms of, you know, now granted, the end of the road trip, 3-4 nights, all that jazz. So, you know, you can factor that
three in. Three losses, by the way, for them.
Yeah, I just didn't see a ton there, especially on the offensive side of things. They got a good structure. They got they're very adept at getting sticks into the lanes, and they were pretty good on the back check and sort of using their defensive awareness well. But yeah, I just didn't see sort of any of the high level upside from the LA Kings. So I wouldn't expect them to be, you know, they're likely to play Dallas in the first round, and I don't know that Dallas should have much difficulty with them. You know, the goaltending, you know, again, Cam Talbot was also, I would say, decidedly average tonight from the LA perspective.
Made a couple of nice saves.
Yeah, he made a couple nice saves, but I mean, you sort of know what Cam Talbot is at this point in time.
Right.
As a goaltender, he can make some nice saves, but at the same time, there's going to be some that you maybe don't love. But that's LA. I mean, I don't think LA is anyone's definition of a Stanley Cup threat at this point of the season.
Yeah, I would agree with you for sure, Drew. And I think, like I said, I just actually would love to see LA play the Oilers again in the playoffs, because I just love those matchups. But you know, credit to Jets fans, they have long memories, and Pierre-Luc Dubois was the subject of the Boo Birds all night long. So,
as you would expect.
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, and it was, you know, I mean, that's always entertaining. And it wasn't a full house. It was it was only 13-3, I think, is what you said. But, so
13-3-4.
So the sellout streak ends at four straight. But, you know, for how many fans were there? And maybe it was the Galloway crew contingent. And credit the bugling from the RCAF bugler, because she did a heck of a job. And I would imagine it, they showed it on the television, but if it doesn't translate, check out the Illegal Curve Instagram, because she did a really good job. And I have to say, the crowd seemed really into it. It resonated with the crowd. What resonated with the crowd more was the play of Cole Perfetti. They were giving him a lot of love after his first goal, knowing the struggles he's had,
the CRTC less so. The CRTC is sending a sternly worded letter to Cole Perfetti for using a little bit of some cursing during that first intermission interview.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But the fans were giving him a lot of love for scoring that goal. And again, he played a good, really good game, and that's what you needed from Cole Perfetti. And like we said before, right? We said if you're going to give Cole Perfetti that chance, you play him in that role. So, real good game from Cole Perfetti. Good game from Kyle Connor. You know, we saw him defensively. We were like, "Whoa, who's that playing defense?" That's Kyle Connor. But again, the play of that line and Sean Monahan was. I mean, that goal he scored. We'll get into it on the Betway game recap in a few minutes. But I thought that second line, as it was configured, looked real good. And let me tell you, it's setting up a big question. What if Tyler Toffoli's healthy? Now, it may be avoided because we don't know the status of Nino Niederreiter. So right. We don't know what his status is going to look like. Again, whenever we find that out, depending on what the strategy is, if the Jets end up practicing tomorrow, we'll let you know. And it'll be, of course, on illegalcurve.com and on our YouTube channel. The other thing I want to mention, yes, there's lots of you in the chat. We're not about, once we start the Betway game recap, may not have that same chance. If you want to order IC gear, last chance. Get it in. We're doing a last chance because we're supposed to be open till. I don't want Rob Mahoney to call me a liar, Drew.
He already called you a liar, I think. I saw it.
Did he? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. But anything about something specific or just in general?
Just saying that the store, he can't believe the store is still open, I think.
Well, no, because Rob, the store was supposed to close, but yeah, because our guy didn't have it open on Sunday, aka March 31st, I felt like I denied you.
Calendar reading is hard.
Yes, not by me. I didn't set that. But the point is, it's a last chance. So it'll be open until about 4 in the morning. So if you want some IC merch, we appreciate it. And you can order it, and you can order a hat, hoodie, whatever you want.
There you go. So get on that. And while we get started here with the Betway game recap on the Illegal Curve post-game show.
The Betway game recap.
Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and the Illegal Curve post-game show. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront with a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Yes, first and foremost is please play responsibly if you choose to play whatsoever. Jets open the scoring. Cole Perfetti at the 11:14 mark of the first period. A bit of a sleepy start to the first period, but the Jets were decidedly the better of the two teams, outshooting. It's good English there, Drew. Outshooting LA by a 12-5 margin in that first period, and they got the first goal of the game. Perfetti, his 16th of the year, assisted Dylan DeMello and Kyle Connor. He gets his opportunity back in the lineup with Toffoli's illness. That's for those of you who missed the Tyler Toffoli out of the lineup today because he's under the weather. And Perfetti really shows up, and he makes, and this is a goal that's just hard work. It's Dylan DeMello with a shot off the end boards. It's a goal mouth scramble, and it's Perfetti in a quote unquote dirty area, and all the Jets. It's a big mass of humanity there, and Perfetti is able to sort of just poke the loose puck through and past Cam Talbot to give the Jets the 1-0 lead just after the halfway mark of the first period, Dave.
And Drew, what characterizes this goal? Movement.
Hard work.
Well, hard work and movement.
Yeah.
The Jets were quick, right? There was a lot of interchange. You've got Dylan Sandberg and Kyle Connor, all these guys touching the puck. You got Sean Monahan causing chaos in front of the net. Mm-hmm. And then you have everybody go to the front. And one of the things we learned about Cole Perfetti early in his AHL career, so we're going back a few years now, was that he was finding success, but he was finding success from the periphery. And then eventually, as the kid who was, you know, 19 and learning how to play against men adjusted, he went to the dirtier areas and he started to get that figured out. And similarly in the NHL, you know, you're not going to score all your goals from the periphery. You got to get into those dirty areas. Mm-hmm. And that's what you see him do. So for me, you know, that's a significant area for Cole Perfetti to be in. And Sean Monahan's the one who's taking most of the abuse, right?
Right.
But, you know, that's the... Okay. And of course, and again, it's just about finding time and space and getting that opportunity, right? Cam Talbot, a little slow to pick it up. There was a little, I think the Kings were considering a review because, Dylan DeMello goes crashing into the blue paint a little bit. So I guess they were considering whether there was some interference on Talbot and preventing him from, you know, getting a hold of the puck. But ultimately at the end of the day, you know, it's a real big goal for Cole Perfetti because it's, again, it's a hardworking goal from that group, from that line, mm-hmm. and it gets the crowd into it.
Yeah, exactly right. And so good goal for the Jets. They're up 1-0, but you know, as this team has unfortunately done as of late, they mm-hmm. score one, then they give one up pretty quickly thereafter. It's a minute yeah. and 16 seconds. So not even a lot, you know, maybe a shift or two shifts later. And this goal can't go in from my perspective. It's Victor Arvidsson, his second of the year. And you're like, Victor Arvidsson, only two goals. Well, he's only played 10 games this year so far.
yeah, you got a good, important yeah. qualifier there, Drew.
Exactly. Arvidsson, his second of the year, assist to Trevor Moore and Drew Doughty. And it's a good shot. I'm not going to take anything away from Arvidsson and the quality of the shot, but from where he releases it, I mean, he releases it from not a dangerous area. It's from probably parallel to the faceoff dot, but much closer to the boards along the hash marks there. Laurent Brossoit has to find a way to make the save. It's a well-placed shot. Again, yep, not down. Taking anything away from Arvidsson here, but Brossoit's got to find a way to make that save because the Jets have done everything what they need to do in keeping him to the outside, yet he's still able to elude, the puck is able to elude Brossoit, and it's a 1-1 game.
Yeah, and look, I can understand, like, some folks are like, well, it was a bar down shot, but, like, I don't know, like, it's not like and we reviewed it, right, Drew, when we were sitting there, like, oh, is it possible it went off of someone's, you know, deflected and off the defenseman or something, mm-hmm. but it doesn't. So as soon as you realize it doesn't, you're like, well, wait a second. If it doesn't, then how does it beat him from that distance? And yeah, it's a good shot, but Laurent Brossoit needs to have that because your team's just gotten the momentum. And the other thing also, Drew, is the Jets had the momentum, right? The Jets had, I think, I don't remember the exact shot total at that point, but I believe it was like 5-1 for the Jets before that might have been the second or third goal. And yeah, I mean, like, it's a nice stretch pass from the Kings, but I mean,
it's not a dangerous play. There's no danger on this play. There's nothing about this play.
Well, that I mean, and look, and we're not like, sure. And I'm not a goaltender and I'm not going to pretend to be one. I think Drew played some street hockey goaltending, but like, I don't think that's, I'm not suggesting it's an easy save in the sense that, like, you know, that shot's pretty freaking hard, but like, at the end of the day, he saw it from distance. And you'd think that Laurent Brossoit would have had that. And the way Laurent Brossoit has played this season, you would have thought he would have had that. But again, it beats him. And you're wondering what kind of impact is that going to have on the Jets, given the fact that they were, you know, starting to build a lot of momentum. And like I said, they had the shot edge. And ultimately now it's a one-all game. So you're curious to see how they would respond to a little bit of adversity.
Yeah, how are they going to respond? Exactly right. So 1-1 after 20 minutes, the Jets probably are thinking to themselves, they deserve a better fate after the 20 minutes have come and gone, but so be it. And then LA opens the scoring in the second period. It's at the 5:48 mark. In the second period, the start of the second period was a real ugly period for both teams. It was just no flow, as I referenced at the start of the broadcast. Both team really couldn't complete a pass. It was just hacking the puck sort of back and forth. I sort of, you know, attributed it, looked like it was a table hockey game where you're just sort of trying to spin the dials and see where the puck can go. And in this case, it does go onto the stick of Kevin Fiala, assist to Vladislav Gavrikov. A lot of traffic in front of Laurent Brossoit here, but just bad D-zone coverage by the Winnipeg Jets. Fiala, his 25th of the year, and LA has a 2-1 lead at the 5:48 mark, Dave.
Yeah, and the Jets are standing around, and they're watching, and you're wondering why they, like, it's funny because they went from playing fast and confidently, and this was just, and like you just alluded to, Drew, I mean, it was, that goal came at the 5:48 mark, but I mean, there was a lot of like slow, it was just not a good period, mm-hmm. unfortunately for either team. And so you're wondering, like, what is going on here? Like, why are these guys like, where's the same team? And I know the second periods haven't been great for Winnipeg, but, and LA didn't look fantastic either. Right. I just think they were able to take advantage of the Jets being particularly slow on this, in this instance. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to give Kevin Fiala a lot of credit. I thought it was an excellent shot.
Yeah.
But, you know, Neil Pionk behind the net, like, there's got to be a better presence of mind. Right. You've got to understand that the forward isn't covering the wall.
It's so just a blind rim to nobody. It's a blind rim to the Kings defenseman.
Right. But what I'm getting at is like, you have time. Like, again, he doesn't have an hour to set up shop there, but like, it's just, you don't like the fact that the Jets, you know, like are kind of just like Kyle Connor again, like this is not a great play, but like, there's no talking. You're wondering like, where's the conversation? Because yeah, I mean, you think that someone is going to let Pionk know, like that's not the puck to just rim it around blindly. And instead he does. Kings intercept. And even at this play, like the Jets are standing. And so you're kind of wondering, and again, this is similar to when they gave up the first goal. You wonder how they're going to respond. And you wonder what kind of, you know, because again, this team has lost six games in a row. Now they still have belief in themselves. I mean, that's one of that was the message from Gabriel Vilardi. I'll read it to the folks because I thought it was a good quote from him. It was a little more, he was asked about the mentality of the group, and you know, especially with everything going on, and his response was we got to find ways to win hockey games. We're finding ways to lose games right now, and it's got to be the other way. Now mm-hmm. I mean, again, that's not particularly like but it still is a little insightful, right? Because I think that their point is they've been playing real well in some of these games, but they're just making mental mistakes. Their attention to detail isn't significant, kind of like Drew's attention to detail right now, because he's so fixated on having a conversation with the chat about his stupid North Carolina State shirt.
I'm multitasking.
That he is focused on that instead of this show.
I'm chat. Not.
So stop distracting Drew.
I'm definitely focused on the show as well, but sure, I'm right. The one who's always tweeting and everything else. I can multitask at the same time. I was just commenting because I'm wearing, somebody was asking why I'm wearing an NC State t-shirt.
See, look at this. I just gave you an opportunity to go for it.
Well, you're so welcome. The reason I'm wearing an NC State t-shirt is my wife is a graduate of NC State. Laura went she went there for grad school. So this, not only is this an NC State t-shirt, but what you can't see because of where the angle on the camera is, hang on, let me stand up for a second here.
Oh boy. Oh God, please. No. Wow. Drew's bona fides.
It's NC State ice hockey at that. So there you go. It's still, you know, it's combining all the worlds. The worlds are combining together. I have many Kentucky ice hockey t-shirts as well, but I had to go deep in the closet. When I pulled this out to do the show, Laura's like, where in God's name has that t-shirt been? Cause she hasn't seen it probably in a decade or so since she graduated from NC State. Well, it's probably been more than a decade at this point in time, to be honest. But anyways, there you go. It is the, that's why I'm wearing the NC State t-shirt tonight. So I apologize if that interrupted or confused you at all there, Dave.
Nah, not really. I just wanted to like call you up because I saw you were having a little too much fun in the chat. I wanted to draw your attention back to this show, Drew. I mean, I didn't want you to, you know, I mean, usually it's Ezzy and I who are kind of monitoring the chat. You do too as well sometimes, but I kind of figured you're, you know, you'd be locked and loaded, but I saw you were having a little too much fun. So I wanted to rein that in. I wanted to bring you back down to reality.
There you go. So that's the quick update on that. So 2-1 at this point.
Just by the way, so Granny Bonner fan, I just got this update too. But someone, just to be clear, should let the chat know that apparently Rick Bowen is in his post game media availability, available on our YouTube channel. Said Nino had to get stitches to his leg. So that's not a surprise. That would be in keeping with what we heard was that he was cut. So there you go.
Right. And that's probably a best case scenario. If you're comparing, you know, if the options are, you know, lower leg sprain versus stitches, you know, I think stitches are definitely the preference between the two if you have to choose one.
For sure.
So 2-1 at this point in time for the LA Kings, and the Jets are, you know, they've played a decent game. Yep. And so, but they're, you know, when you are struggling like they are, and when you haven't, you know, you have no confidence, and when you haven't been able to really have anything good happen for you, this is what happens. You play a decent game, but then all of a sudden you give up two in a row and you're down by a goal. To the Jets' credit, they stay with it. And then Sean Monahan at the 11:49 mark, so just 6 minutes and 1 second later, he ties it up, his 24th of the year. Morrissey and Kyle Connor with the assists. I mean, the cycle for the Jets was working well, really, throughout the entirety of this game. The Jets were really able to put the puck in low and then start cycling at the Lowry line, had a number of shifts of that nature. The Scheifele Vilardi line, they had that great shift late in the third period where they were able to cycle for a good period of time. That's one thing about the Jets game. that really stood out to me tonight. Yeah. And this one, this goal comes after a good Jets cycle. Josh Morrissey, gets the puck on his stick, and Sean Monahan is where exactly you expect him to be at this point in time, in front of the net, causing chaos, and he gets a real nice tip on a nice shot by Morrissey to tie the game up at 2, just over the halfway mark of the second period, Dave.
Yeah, and look, it's significant because we were talking about the idea of how would the Jets respond.
Right.
You're now down, and so what are you going to do? And I think, Drew, and I was talking to someone, and they're like laughing how some folks, you know, a guy has a couple good games, and he seems like a fit, and suddenly you're like, hand him a deal, whatever he needs. I will say Sean Monahan certainly has fit this team and filled a need at second line center for this Jets team, right? So he hasn't looked out of he looks like he's part of this group, and he looks like he's been part. I think part of the what would I say? I guess part of the brilliance, if you want to go that aggressive, is the fact that getting him early, getting him comfortable, getting him 3 weeks before everybody else was making trades. Obviously, the Canucks had made a trade, which started off the kind of domino effect of making the Jets.
Monahan has looked a lot better in a Jets uniform than Lindholm has in a Canucks uniform.
Well, given the fact that there was rumors that the Canucks were considering trading Lindholm, I definitely think it was a good deal for Winnipeg. But again, like I said, I think it's just a testament to them doing this. And this play was just a brilliant sequence. Again, Jets moving fast and seeming to talk. And like I said, you give Kyle Connor, I thought he was excellent, being shifty. And then Josh Morrissey, like you said, Drew, playing almost a bit like a hybrid. And it's funny because I actually think he was intending, I could be wrong, but I think he actually intended the pass to go to Cole Perfetti, who was streaking to the net on the backside for a tap-in. But Monahan's so good that, you know, he gets that anywhere near him and he's able to tip it through and past Cam Talbot. So really nice play by Sean Monahan to tie the game. And again, it got the fans into it because like I said, you weren't sure. I mean, it happened about 6 minutes after the Kings had taken a 2-1 lead, and the Jets didn't break their structure. I thought the Jets still were playing fairly decent defensively, but even creating some good offensive chances. But you just didn't want it to stretch into the third. You wanted to be able to get that crowd into it. That's what they were able to do.
You don't want to have to, you don't want to have to play the clock, play against the clock as well as the opponent in this case. But, you know, and we talked about this in the press box tonight with some of our media colleagues about how quickly the opposition is scoring against the Jets after the Jets get a goal. And we saw it on the first goal and you see it again here. So it's just over 2 minutes later, 2 minutes and 7 seconds later, the Kings retake the lead. Mm-hmm. Busy second period in the course of tonight's game here, folks, and we're not even done yet. Anže Kopitar, his 26th of the year, assist to Adrian Kempe and Gavrikov as well. And it's just blown coverage by the Winnipeg Jets here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're blowing coverages against your fourth line guys. You're blowing coverage against Anže Kopitar, who's left all alone in the middle of the slot. How does this happen? And it's not the first time it's happened. I mean, in this one, I believe it's Cole Perfetti sort of blows the zone too early. Looking for offense. And I understand sort of where he's coming from. But if we've learned anything about this Winnipeg Jets team over the last number of years, it's don't leave the zone too early. Get that out of your game. Because that was the MO, of course, of Scheifele and Connor for so long and for so many years. Perfetti, bit of a bad habit. He's cheating on this play. And as a result, the Kings take advantage and they make it 3-2 at this point with about just over 6 minutes to go in the second period.
Yeah. And again, it's the quickness of that goal, right? Coming just over 2 minutes later, Drew, and it's also a breakdown defensively. Like you said, the idea for the Jets is supposed to be that offensive opportunities are created by playing good defense. That's what we've been hearing. That's the mantra. That's what these guys are supposed to be. And it's not easy. It's not fun. Everybody would rather fly the zone, get a breakaway. But at this point, you just look at it. And the Jets, like I said, I understand, but there's two guys who jump at the line. And you can't leave Kopitar right up the, flying down Main Street, as they like to say. And he's not going to make a mistake. He knows how to put the puck in the back of that and have success under pressure. But yeah, the Jets, you looked at it and Perfetti, and I believe it was Perfetti and Connor were both high at the blue.
Yeah, they were both way too high. Like, they were both cheating on the play.
Yeah. So Monahan's where he needs to be. He just kind of gets caught in the middle, but like, you know, at the end of the day, there's two guys, right? He's got to look after two. And I mean, Monahan doesn't really play it great either, but ultimately it's one of those situations where you're sitting there going, you just don't like the two guys thinking offense in that situation, because when the puck isn't out of the zone, you shouldn't be.
I promise you it'll be on video tomorrow when they gather together and say, look, this is not how we need to play. We need to have better puck support. We need to have better defensive awareness. We can't be cheating. You know, we've got to get that cheating out of your game, because you see what happens. You know, more often than not, when you cheat on those plays, it ends up biting you in the behind more than it does, resulting in something positive for you. You can't cheat because it's just never going to last that long for you. Perfetti and Connor weren't great on that play, but give them credit because they bounced back quickly and the Jets get the tie again. It comes, just under 3 minutes later at the 16:47 mark of the second period. Josh Morrissey, his ninth of the year, assist to Perfetti and Connor. And this is a nice play. It's a 3-on-2 for the Jets. Connor with a clean zone entry, and then he feeds it down low to Perfetti, and Morrissey is the trailer on the play. Morrissey's not the three in the 3-on-2 here. He's jumping up in the play, and it's almost a 4-on-3 by the time he gets into the play, but it's a beautiful pass by Cole Perfetti, sort of saucering it over onto the stick of Josh Morrissey, and then Morrissey makes no mistake in beating Cam Talbot with the shot. This is what you want to see. This is Josh Morrissey activating and getting involved in the game. And it's Perfetti with that vision and the soft hands that we know that he has. And Kyle Connor, look, you're not really sure what Connor, Perfetti, and Monahan are going to be like. I don't believe that's a line that the Jets had played at all together, prior to tonight's game, or if they did, very few minutes, but they look damn good together. So, Kyle Connor doesn't have to play with Mark Scheifele. Here's a reminder about that in how he played tonight, as that line that Monahan, Perfetti and Connor line were terrific. And you got to see it certainly on this goal as well.
Absolutely, Drew. And look, Kyle Connor picked up 3 assists. Kyle Connor seemed a bit sullen, I'm not going to lie. When I've interviewed him a number of times in today's media availability, he was definitely not his, cheery self. I'm being somewhat sarcastic. He's not necessarily the most cheery fellow, but he was asked about Michigan and didn't seem overly enthused. He's a Michigan guy, Michigan making it to the Frozen Four, Rutger, McGroarty, of course. But I would imagine he's a little subdued right now based on, he likes playing with Mark Scheifele, but he's a team player. So he wants to do what's going to be best for the team. But this seems to be what's best for the team, right? We know what Ehlers and Scheifele and Velarde were able to do during that stretch when the aforementioned Kyle Connor was injured. And we know that Connor seems to have some chemistry there with Perfetti. And again, he's fast. He thinks fast and he's got a great shot and he can make a great pass. So you like all those sort of elements on the line. You've got a cerebral player like Monahan, you got a cerebral player like Perfetti, and you have a guy like Kyle Connor, who's got attributes that both guys know how to take advantage of. So to me, that's a real strong trio. We'll see, as you said, we don't know if it's going to stick together. But I mean, again, it's more just that idea that these guys are, again, like I said, trying to create something. And you like the fact that they strike back. And it's a hugely critical goal to go into the second intermission with a tie game. And I was just going to say, if you think about it, the Jets actually got a goal like this scored against them. And I believe, Drew, if I recall correctly, it was Cole Perfetti remember when Cole Perfetti jumped at the blue line and we joked about Cole Perfetti not being tall enough?
Right.
The puck goes over his head. And then I don't remember which team that was against. Maybe the chat can remind me when that happened and Cole Perfetti tried to jump.
I want to say that was against the game against Nashville when they lost on home ice, maybe.
Could have been.
I remember the I remember the incident where he jumped and then he wasn't able to knock it down. I can't remember the opponent, but if I had to pick one game, I'm going to say the home game against Nashville, but probably Perfetti didn't actually play in that game is what I'll find out.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is that this is very similar, and actually I think it was Pionk, if I recall correctly, who actually flipped the puck up and over and out of the zone, and It's just a nice sequence by the Jets, and they were able to do to tie the game with just a few minutes to go before the end of the second. And and like I said, they made everybody happy in the building, including Noah Kahn, who's performing tomorrow, and the crowd seemed to resonate when he was speaking in front of the masses today ahead of his concert tomorrow.
Do you know his music?
I actually do know a little bit of his music. It's not my kind of music. I'm not really a folksy kind of person. I like his songs though. Like, he's got some good songs, but I wouldn't, I'm not going to pretend to be a huge fan of his, but he's got one or two songs that I don't mind.
Okay. And
they're a little slow for my liking. I'm more of an EDM.
I know you like, you're more of an EDM guy.
I need up tempo.
Look, that's why you're going to Vegas this weekend so that you can go to, aren't you an Electric Daisy? Isn't that this weekend?
EDC.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's what I thought. 3-3.
Eat, sleep, rave, repeat, Drew.
That's you. That's you in a nutshell, my friend. 3-3 after 40 minutes. And, you know, the Jets come out to start the third, and LA is the better of the two teams, I would thought. But the Jets weathered it. Mm-hmm. And you know, to their credit, and they didn't break. They, you know, the structure stayed, and I thought Laurent Brossoit probably got a little more comfortable as the game went on because he was fighting the puck earlier in tonight's contest. And then the only penalty of the game gets called. Victor Arvidsson gets called for holding the stick at 11:03, and the Jets just so very narrowly dodge a bullet. Because can you imagine if they had given up that shorthanded goal to Trevor Moore? That would have been an absolute just killer for this Winnipeg Jets team. Instead, Moore isn't able to get the puck past Laurent Brossoit. The Jets transition up the ice. And just as the penalty ends, it's good, strong zone entry from Neil Pionk. And then he feeds Cole Perfetti in a good scoring opportunity. And Perfetti with a really well-placed shot. Really well, you know, not probably the hardest shot ever, but really puts it in a very good spot. And Cam Talbot can't make the save. And the Jets get a 4-3 lead. Perfetti, his third point of the game. And it's also our Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Whatever your drink of choice may be, we recommend all of the fine Seagram's products, perhaps even Seagram's 83, Manitoba's favorite Canadian whiskey. Get it wherever you get your fine liquor products. Big thanks to Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Huge goal for Cole Perfetti.
Yeah.
A huge goal for the Winnipeg Jets. It's his 17th of the game, and I thought...
17th of the game. Holy shit, he had a 17th. Great game. He was dropping... No wonder he was dropping an F-bomb there, Drew.
That's right. 17th of the season, pardon me. And... You know, what impresses, I mean, it's a great play by Pionk. It's a great play by Perfetti. And then the last 6.5 minutes of the game for the Winnipeg Jets are really impressive in that they sort of keep the pedal down and they don't let LA have much in terms of an opportunity. Yes, LA did get to set up in the zone with the goalie pulled, but it was all kept to the outside. The Jets were able to do a really good job of staying disciplined, that shift by Vilardi, Scheifele, and Ehlers. And they weren't necessarily at their best all game long.
That was important, though, better. Drew. I agree.
Oh, it was. I thought they got better as the game went on. But really, what are you talking about? The last 2.5 minutes of the game, that shift that they basically kept LA hemmed into their own zone for a solid 60 seconds where they just cycled the puck and LA had no answer to them. And that's what you want to see. That's what the Jets were so good at when they were playing at their peak earlier this year when everything was going so well. And that was a great shift by Scheifele, Vilardi, and Ehlers. And then the Jets sort of keep it going. They play well defensively in their own zone. They're able to clear the puck. They almost get the empty netter. Nemesnikov had a good chance, and Appleton had a good chance. But the Jets really sort of solidified their victory with, I thought, their defensive play over the last 6 minutes or so of the game.
Yeah, and we should mention again, we did already to start this during our preamble, but Nino Niederreiter left the game. I don't remember exactly what time his last shift was. It's just a weird play. Like I noticed it, and then there was the penalty. So I was trying to catch the replay. It happened at the – actually, I don't have it on my thing. But, yeah, I'm not entirely certain when it happened in the game because, of course, TSN doesn't have it on their thing. But it was probably with about 5 or 6 minutes to go, maybe a little bit more. Maybe a little bit more because it was just before the penalty, Drew. But – just an unfortunate situation, but I was going to mention Morgan Barron gets the jump up from the fourth line into that spot, which he obviously is familiar with. He played with those guys last year, so not unexpected. And I actually thought he had a good game, Morgan Barron. We should mention him again. He did some things in the first period.
He's solid on the forecheck. You know, he's one of those players that I don't think Rick Bowness has to worry about.
Yeah,
you know, he just goes and does his job. He's similar to Nemesnikov or similar to Niederreiter or Lowry. Just goes out there, knows exactly what he's expected to do, and goes and performs that that role pretty admirably.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's a guy who we've often said could easily be elevated in this lineup and given more opportunity, and he's still pretty young. So it's, you know, there's still lots of years for Morgan Barron to gain those sorts of opportunities, but he's big bodied. He can control the puck and, you know, I mean, obviously you need to see goals, but he's like we've detailed, he scored more this year than he did last year. And it's with less ice time, less average ice time. So he's making more with less in 23-24. But again, like I said, we'll see what happens with Nino Niederreiter as Rick Bowness detailed on his media availability from the Matt Frost. It required a few stitches. And that's good news for the Jets. And so he may not be at practice tomorrow, but we'll maybe see him on Wednesday if they practice then. So
status for Niederreiter up in the air for Thursday's next game against the Calgary Flames. That will be the Winnipeg Jets' next opportunity to clinch a playoff spot with the win tonight. They get within 2 points of doing so. So a combination of two Winnipeg Jets points or 2 points not earned by the St. Louis Blues and will result in the Winnipeg Jets being playoff bound. We know it's just a matter of time. St. Louis did end up beating Edmonton tonight in overtime for those of you who are keeping a close eye on the out-of-town scoreboard. And is also relevant to the out-of-town scoreboard in what can only be described as an upset. The Columbus Blue Jackets went and defeated the Colorado Avalanche by a 4-1 score. So for those of you keeping an eye on maybe thinking the Jets could get back into second spot in the Central Division, the Jets are 4 points behind Colorado. The Jets do have the tiebreaker right now. It's unlikely. I would say it's more likely than not that the Jets will finish in that third place in the Central Division. They're six up on Nashville. Nashville with a game in hand now on the Jets. But you would expect that the Jets are very, you know, on Thursday against the Calgary Flames team that has nothing to play for on home ice should be a perfect opportunity for the Winnipeg Jets to clinch a playoff spot for the second consecutive season.
Especially because it's up against the Calgary team they haven't beaten yet this year, right, Drew? So that'll be some extra motivation for the Jets. I should mention, I forgot I was going to mention earlier, Jets fans will be happy to know some NHL suspension news that Ryan Hartman will be missing the game on Saturday, April 6th, because he has been suspended 3 games for throwing his stick at an official. That news came earlier. So unlike last year when the Jets played the Wild and Ryan Hartman took Nikolaj Ehlers out for the end of the season three or four games of the playoffs.
Four games. He only came back
because he only played for game five. Yeah. So he played one game. So Ryan Hartman will not be in the lineup on Saturday. Good news for the Jets. They will not have to deal with any sort of shenanigans from that end. But yeah, no, I mean, you'll definitely want to have a, you'll want to keep this going, right? If you're the Jets, you've played some good periods of hockey, even though you had some loss during that 6-game losing streak, but you don't need to, you know, win one, lose one. Like we said, you're going to clinch. It's inevitable, but you kind of want to go out and end this you know, this homestand with a decent effort on Thursday.
Yeah.
And like I said, against a Flames team you haven't been able to beat. And Calgary is not playing for anything, you know, at this point, but still, I mean, these guys have some pride. So we saw Ottawa had nothing to play for, and they were more than the Jets could handle, right? Well, so
that's why the Jets need to, yes, you need to build off tonight's victory, and you need to take it and just, you know, win in a decisive fashion. Just go in and, you know, you're a better team than Calgary is. Go and prove that before you head out on that difficult 4-game road trip to wrap up the season, where you face all your, you know, Central Division teams. You got the Wild on Saturday afternoon, then you go to Nashville and Dallas and Colorado, and guess what? Nashville and Dallas and Colorado, those are all three playoff teams before you come home for the final two to wrap up the regular season.
Although it'll be interesting, I think, if I recall correctly, they may actually be coming home after that game against Minnesota.
Yeah,
before going to Nashville. 2 days off. There's like 2 days between. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense for a variety of reasons, but like this way you keep the team focused, right? Like instead of going to Nashville and having 2 or 3 days off in Nashville, especially on a Saturday night in Nashville, it's a little bit better to have the team focused here in Winnipeg. So
yeah, well, I mean, the Jets, you know, after Saturday,
I'm saying it's unusual because usually when you're on the road, you're on the road.
Right. They can come home. They'll be back home in Winnipeg probably by 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock because it's a 3 o'clock central, 3 o'clock central start time or something.
Exactly.
So yeah, easy flight to back and forth from Minnesota. No question about that. Jets victory tonight, 4-3 over the Los Angeles Kings. Much needed win for the Winnipeg Jets. Mm-hmm. When we come back on the Illegal Curve post game show, we'll look at some of the post game quotes. Cole Perfetti with some interesting comments. Rick Bonus with some interesting comments about Cole Perfetti as well. Stay tuned for that. Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk. It is a Monday night edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show.
BP's new York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the new York Sicilian square footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has 0 calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking. And to sweeten the deal even more,
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni.
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave, and thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Approaching midnight Central Time, as Monday night will quickly become Tuesday night. This is the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk with you. Jets win 4-3 tonight over the LA Kings. We want to remind everybody, coming up May 28th, 2024, the Rady JCC 50th annual sports dinner. A great night on the sporting calendar. Grant Fuhr, Doug Gilmore, and Wendell Clark are your guest speakers, and you know it's going to be fantastic to hear from those three hockey legends and the memorabilia that is going to be available for you to bid on and get your hands on. Illegal Curve, one of the proud media sponsors. So if you plan to attend or you want to attend the Rady JCC Sports Dinner, go to RadyJCC.com for more information and to get your tickets. And if you want to sit at the Illegal Curve table when you buy your ticket, be sure to tell them that. You want to sit with yours truly. You want to sit with Dave Minuk. You want to sit with Ezra Ginsberg and have a great night listening to Grant Fuhr, Doug Gilmore, and Wendell Clark. That's coming up in about 7 or 8 weeks time. Not quite 8 weeks, a little bit less than that. It's going to be a great night at the downtown Winnipeg Convention Center. Also a great night, Dave M, for Brad Lambert. Great day for Brad Lambert of the Manitoba Moose. He got a nice acknowledgement from the AHL. You'll talk about that in the upcoming Minuk Moose Minute.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Minuk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Indeed, Drew. It was indeed a good day for Brad Lambert, the 2022 first rounder, 30th overall by the Winnipeg Jets. He was recognized as the rookie of the month for March. And why was he done? Because he had 18 points in March in 13 games, 4 goals, 14 assists. He helped the Moose to a 10-3-1 record during that time. Part of the reason why this team is back in a playoff spot and part of the discussion for what they're going to be able to do in the Central. So he's been very impactful. And I said this as a center, which is significant, of course, because he was playing wing last year until he went to Seattle and they moved him to center. The Jets organization with him on the Moose have kept him as a man up the middle. So really good month for Brad Lambert. He continues to show. And again, he's got some room for growth. I think he'll probably get a game in potentially for the Jets. He won't be the guy who goes in for Nino Niederreiter to quash that one. If Nino Niederreiter even misses a game, because again, you're developing as a center. You don't want to put him in as a winger. Just seems counterproductive, but although, as Nate Schmidt said, you know, he was a left D man until they said our left D is full. Do you want to be a right D man? Well, I guess I'll learn how to play right D pretty quick.
I'd rather be in the NHL than not in the NHL. So I'll find whatever role I can carve out for myself.
Yeah. So, 7JP7B said 18 points. Wow. Did Connor do that when he was down there? The problem is, I don't know which Connor he's talking about. I assume
Kyle.
Kyle Connor. Yeah. Well, Kyle Connor didn't do that, but Kyle Connor did. Kyle Connor started off his AHL career once he'd been, remember, he was with the Jets for that stretch of time. He wasn't having a ton of success. They sent him down and he didn't get it figured out right away, but then he went on a tear when he absolutely he didn't do something like, I don't remember exactly what happened, but he scored like, I want to say 20 or 21 goals in like 22 or 23 games. So he didn't have exactly that same sort of run as Lambert, but he went on a goal scoring tear that was ridiculous for the Moose and himself. And if folks will remember, he started the next year, played, I think, three or four games to start the season with Manitoba because he was waiver exempt, had 5 points, and then they recalled him and he's never looked back. Right. So again, I don't think it's a bad thing that guys get a little taste in the AHL, but yeah, Brad Lambert's really thrived this year up the middle, and you know, there's some growing pains, right? You've got a lot of young guys playing pivotal roles. You had Chaz Lucius, you had Danny Jilkin. Both those two Jets prospects are done for the season. But that was, I think, part of the you know, growing pains of this Moose team earlier on. And it's important for those guys to have gone through it. And now, of course, they're on the other end. Moose left for Abbotsford. They're in Abbotsford for the next 2 days to play the Canucks. So they're going to hope to continue to add points to their standings bank. And then they're back in town to take on the Chicago Wolves this weekend. Actually, speaking of Brad Lambert, Drew, it's his bobblehead game. So on Sunday, we've already given away, I think I gave away the tickets already to the Sunday's game, but we probably have some tickets to the Saturday game. So we'll have more tickets to give away, and then they'll close out the homestand and their final, I think it's their final two games at home against Iowa the following week. So lots of fun with the Moose. And hey, someone asked me, you know, if some of the Jets prospects are done, might we see them? So a guy like Colby Barlow, might you see him? Sure, you may see him. We've seen it with a lot of these guys. You get your junior career comes to, not career, but your junior season comes to an end. So someone like Jacob Julian, who's on London, probably not, because they're a really good team. But Connor Levis, who's with, he's in Kelowna right now. Where's Connor Levis?
Somewhere on the West.
Yeah. I know he's in BC, but I want to say I feel like he's in Kelowna, but I could be wrong because I think he got traded. He did get traded. Oh, he might be with
Vancouver now. Yeah, the Giants.
Oh, he was in Vancouver, but who was he with Kelowna before?
He was with Kamloops before.
Kamloops. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's all West Coast.
It's all BC. Yeah. It's good enough.
Yeah. So anywho, the point is that, that you could see some of those guys joining the Moose for the final push towards the playoffs. And they'll gain some experience. And a lot of times the Moose coaching staff usually use them, but that's usually when they have a more veteran lineup. Right now, the lineup's fairly young as it is. So we'll see what happens with the Moose, but yeah, lots of good things for Brad Lambert. And you know, this is a good thing. And like I said earlier in the week, he's also rocketing up the rookies standing for the Moose in terms of their all-time list. So he'll continue to thrive. He didn't play the last game, and we'll see if he plays tomorrow, but if he's not, we'll bring it to you on illegalcurve.com.
There you go. Dave M, of course, with an update on the Moose and Brad Lambert. Rick Bonus on Cole Perfetti tonight. Quote, I did tell him, when you get back in, we're going to give you more time with the top six. That's more his game, so he took full advantage of it. We put in there, and he did a great job tonight. He certainly did. Cole Perfetti, one of the drivers for the Winnipeg Jets in tonight's success. Perfetti, asked by Murat Atesh of The Athletic, what did this game and this result do for his confidence? Quote, it was huge for my confidence. Really happy that I could contribute and help and get back into that. I missed that for a little bit. Just feels really good to get back and help this team win. And if Cole Perfetti is sort of through those doldrums that he was in and the Jets can rely on him again, boy, that's getting sort of found money very late in the regular season. And another strong asset for the team can use come playoff time. So Cole Perfetti with the big night for the Winnipeg Jets, a big night for the Jets in general by virtue of their 4-3 victory over the Los Angeles Kings.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Sorry, no, I just want to say quickly, Drew, because Cole Perfetti, it's interesting. One of the comments, I was going to mention this before we went to break, because you were talking about Perfetti.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because he was at, I think it was Mike McIntyre said, if Tyler Toffoli can go, is the assumption that Cole Perfetti is out. And actually what Rick Bonus said was,
not necessarily.
Basically saying that, you know, we'll have to talk to a few guys. So I didn't get the impression that he was necessarily going to not be in the lineup. But, you know, again, the benefit for the Jets is you need him in the top six. He's not a bottom six guy. Right. And the other thing that was interesting and worth noting, and I think I mentioned it, but I can't remember. It's been a while since we did the preamble. David Gustafson was on the ice for warm-up skate. So I don't know if there was some sort of concern about somebody. Well, we don't know.
Right.
Generally, they don't share that. But speaking of Cole Perfetti, I'll quickly use some trivia, and then I know you're going to do the tough duck, hardest hitting comment.
Yes.
I'm going to be quick here, Drew.
Okay, be here. Be quick.
Cole Perfetti.
Yeah.
Because we talked about Brad Lambert. Cole Perfetti, I'm giving you one. Brad Lambert became the fifth Manitoba Moose to be named AHL Rookie of the Month. Now, Cole Perfetti, because I'm springboarding off that, he was also one of them. So who are the other three for the Manitoba Moose. Now, I'm not asking you. Like, I asked Desi a Moose trivia question. He was actually pretty good. He got 4 or 5, but I'm not going to expect it from you, Drew.
No, don't.
But I do expect it from the chat. So if the chat knows, hey, maybe if you get it right, or if you at least get 2 or 3 right, then maybe you'll get some free parking from our friends at Grid Park.
There you go. Dave, answer Dave M in the chat, folks. Do what you need to do to answer Dave M's random trivia questions that pop up here, there, and everywhere here on the show. Let's wrap it up tonight before the clock strikes midnight. It is the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
The Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
Longtime sponsors of this show, Tough Duck, we salute them and their continued support. We appreciate all their efforts in maintaining their presence here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. The Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment, we give it away on each and every edition of the post-game show. It's going to go to Daniel Sinclair, 91. That's Cole Perfetti, struggled playing with 7 and 9, Namestnikov and Iafallo for a good chunk of the season. Of the beginning of the season, put him with more skilled players, and this happens. It certainly was a Cole Perfetti centric night. He got an opportunity to get bumped up with those skilled players in Connor and Monahan and took full advantage of it. Credit to Perfetti. 2 goals and an assist, 3 points. The Jets, 4-3 victors, certainly on the strength of the efforts of Cole Perfetti. Daniel, send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, or slide into my DMs @ICDrew. Send us your mailing address, and our friends at Tough Duck will hook you up with a great prize, courtesy Tough Duck. They are the proud supporter of the hardest hitting comment on each and every one of these post-game shows. Speaking of post-game shows, the next one will be Thursday night following the Winnipeg Jets and the Calgary Flames. The Jets look to wrap up the homestand by stringing a couple of victories together after tonight's 4-3 win over the LA Kings, and thus they would also be able to solidify their spot and claim a spot for the playoffs, which will begin on April the 20th. As a reminder, whenever the first game of the playoffs, the first road game of the playoffs, if that's going to be Saturday the 20th or Sunday the 21st, and time will tell, we're going to be at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue. It's a live Illegal Curve broadcast of the post game show. It's a watch party, so make sure you got that in your calendars. Game one, where road game number one means Illegal Curve will be at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue. And we certainly look forward to seeing all of you there for that as well. Big thanks to all of you for joining us in the chat tonight and watching. Those of you who aren't chatters, we love you just the same. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us feedback here, there, and everywhere. We want to know what you think of the Illegal Curve post-game show and, of course, the Illegal Curve hockey show. If you haven't already done so, post-game availability is on our YouTube channel. It's also on the website, illegalcurve.com. That's your number one resource for all your latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news, audio, video, everything under the sun, illegalcurve.com and the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Jets win 4-3 tonight over the LA Kings. I'm not sure what that was all about.
Just... Yeah, I see logo, Drew.
Oh, okay. I was like, Dave.
You're not going to read the answer, by the way, for the people on the podcast?
Okay, there you go. The answer to Dave's trivia question. Brendan Kitchen, January 2014.
Corey say it right. Snyder. Say it right. Brendan, stay out of my Kitchen.
Brendan Kitchen, January 2014. Corey Schneider, March of 2008. And Kevin Bieksa of March of 2005. Wow. Dave M. pulling some great trivia out.
That's courtesy of the Moose. I'm not going to pretend like that's my info. That's courtesy of the Moose.
Okay, the courtesy of the Moose. They did that for you. We'll see everybody on Thursday night after the Jets and the Flames. That'll be about 9:30, 9:45 for the post-game show. Then want to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors. They make this show a possibility. That's our friends at Rollie's Transfer. They've been on board with so many years. Great support from our friends at Rollie's Transfer. Farmery Beer, Seagram's, Boston Pizza, Tough Duck, Betway, Zappia Group Realty, Grid Park. Use code Illegal Curve, and that's what you need to do to get to park for free with our friends at Grid Park, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, and of course Linden Market Dental Center. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. For Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Thursday at 9:40 p.m. Central Time, we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.